There's been mud on my soul. There's been anger inside me. There's still unforgiven deeds that now it's time to free. I've been trapped inside so long. Don't remember how to live. How much of life has passed me by as I slept inside my dreams. Oh yes, sip the waters too. Let them wash all over you. Here you are at last. Free yourself from past and walk into the new. Be guided by what's true, causing no one harm.
Satyam Shivam Sundaram Sansar Saram Abhayankaram Dukharam Karunavataram Jyotirmayam Swayambhu Prakriti Sudaram Shivasmarami Jagat Swami Nirvikaram.
A child is praying to God. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my toys to break. So none of the other kids can use them. Ameen. The child is saying to God that put me to sleep and keep my soul. But if I die in sleep, let all my toys get destroyed so that after my death, no one should use them. That is the poem of a selfish child. There are three things. One is need. Second is desire. And third is greed. Need is something which is necessary. Another is want. Want and desire are similar. One is need, then you desire something. Intense desire, you want it. And then greed. They jokingly say that to get married is a desire, but to stay happy after marriage is greed. The vices are many. In one of his poems, Kabir says, I removed the ribbon and the garment remained. I removed the garment and the body remained. I kept on removing one vice after another, and yet, like the peels of onion, something remains. I remove lust, anger remains. I remove anger, greed remains. I remove greed, attachment remains. I remove attachment, ego remains. O Lord, tell me, how should I meet you? The layers are uncountable. The vices are difficult to surmount. The journey seems arduous. The vices are at times invincible. how to win them, how to remove them. It's a big journey. But before we think of removing vices, the most important thing is to identify them. Diagnosis is more important than treatment. In the medical field, first there is diagnosis and then the treatment starts. In the spiritual field, diagnosis, it will be exaggeration to say that diagnosis is treatment, but yes, it is so. The moment you diagnose something, your spirit rebels. You don't want to stay with it because you know it is not a part of you. It is something of inferior quality. How can you stay with it? But then, we never diagnose. Or rather, our diagnosis is wrong. Misdiagnosis. And that's why the disease has become chronic. If we can come to a proper diagnosis, correct diagnosis, rule out all other diseases, and yes, you come to the diagnosis, this is anger. This is not necessity. What I am having is just a manifestation of anger. This is not requirement. This is not necessity. And if it is really anger, then I become a vicious person. And how can I tolerate? How can I stand this title of being called a vicious person? So immediately a rebellion takes place and you reject it. So diagnosis is more important. Diagnosis of vices. But it's a very deep journey. It's not so easy. Mind has to remain, have become crystal clear to know things as they are. So today we'll see something about King Midas. We often heard the golden touch of Midas. The story part is debatable, controversial, lot of discrepancies in description. There are three different types of Midas kings who are described. Phrygian king, we really do not know whether such a man really did exist or not. But yes, in Murli we have heard this. Sometimes it has come once or twice about the story of King Midas. There are different versions. One of the simplest version is that he was a very greedy king. He wanted more and more. And one day, a fairy came. Somebody says, he for 10 days and 10 nights, he served one person who was the attendant or some relative of one Greek deity. It's a Greek story, Greek mythology. So that deity got happy. Some people say fairy. And they asked Midas, that fairy asked, what do you want? He says that whatever I touch should turn into gold. Be it so. He is overjoyed. He is so happy. He wants to test it. He goes and touches stones and they turn into gold and he is so happy. He goes into the garden and starts touching every flower. Every flower turns into gold. Depending upon, based on this story, there is yet another story by one author. The chocolate touch. Children's story. Where a small child is there, whatever touches his lips turns into chocolate. So that's another book, 1953, the Chocolate Touch. So this is Midas' touch. So Midas is so happy. He thinks of increasing. He thinks of turning everything into gold. And how happy, how rich he would become. Then he feels hungry. He orders for food. And the food comes. He touches the plate turns into gold. He touches the food turns into gold. He is thirsty. He touches the glass turns into gold. His daughter is angry with him because the flowers are no more having any incense, any fragrance. So she comes running to him, crying, and he says, "What happened to you? Why you are crying?" And he touches her and she turns into gold. Now he's so miserable, pathetic situation. So he calls that fairy or that deity in some stories back. He says, "Take away this, I don't want." So the deity says, "Okay, go and wash your hands in one particular river." There's name of one river, what is that? There's a river. Pactolus River. So go and wash your hands. So he goes and washes his hand. And the power is gone. And they say that even to this date, this river Pactolus is rich in gold. It's because of this story. So nobody knows the truth. So he is happy again. So what is the moral of the story? It's a moral science story. So what have you learned? Every story when you read, you should have some lessons. You know, so what is the beauty of stories? You always learn. So keep on reading children's stories and think what I can learn. So there is a deep philosophy hidden here. You have a short story and you learn from that story. So when you form this habit, you also form the habit of turning your life into stories. What happened yesterday was a story. What happened the day before was a story. What happened in life is a story. Every event of this drama is a scene, is a story. So when you have that event with you, it's a small story. So, from every story, you should have conclusions. What I have learned. You have spent 4 hours at airport, for example. So, what is the lesson? This is a very beautiful thing to learn. Whatever that is happening, take it as a story. A drama within the drama. A story inside a big story. So life is a web of stories. There are so many stories. Yesterday's Amritvela was a story. Yesterday's Murli was a story. Whatever that happened after Murli was a story. What you have learned from it. Yesterday's whatever you did from 9 to 12 was a story. From 12 to 3 was a story. From 3 to 6 was a story. Everything is a story. Every duty which you have done, every seva which you have performed is a story. Every food that you have eaten is also a story. The food is teaching you something. The food is bringing out your greed. The way, your attitude. Everything teaches. So, that's why in India you have seen Panchatantra. What is it? The children's story. In the Western world, Aesop's fable. What are they? All the Aesop's fable, they are very famous fables. All Aesop's fable, what are they? They are stories. Small stories. And what have they done in those stories? They have taken help of animals. A lion, a jackal, a goat, an elephant. And they talk. They talk. But they teach something. So, what is the moral of the story? Mida story? What do you learn? Don't be greedy. Okay, that's a good story. That's a good lesson. But how? There are 4 types of hunger. Hunger, bhook, 4 types. First, physical, second, emotional, third, intellectual, and fourth, spiritual. You must understand the nature of hunger, how it happens, how it works, how hunger is so powerful. When you are hungry and if you don't get anything, person may eat anything. Cockroach, ants, anything. Man has gone to any level. Hunger is so powerful. Extremely powerful thing. Physical hunger are again divided into two parts. Food and lust. They work similarly. Food and lust are very similar. Same cravings. Same intensity. Lust is very, very high, but food is also no less. Those who have done prolonged fastings, they must have understood and discovered that. So, physical hunger. By gradually understanding the hunger, you become stronger. You get to know who you are, what you are. Emotional hunger. Each one of us wants love. We have everything, but if you don't have love, you feel very, very deserted, lonely. You have everything, but if there is none to love, life is barren. Intellectual hunger, we want to know, explore things, know the detail of things. And last, spiritual hunger, in spite of the fact that instead of the, you have got everything in life, yet you, there is a vacuum, a spiritual vacuum remains. That remains unless and until that spiritual thirst is quaffed, that spiritual thirst is quenched. But greed is something else. Greed is you have and you want more. You have enough and yet you want more. But you must know this classification of hunger. Gradually you understand your hunger and you outgrow your hunger. You go beyond your hunger. Those who have conquered physical hunger, they gradually conquer emotional hunger, intellectual hunger, also spiritual hunger. We give least importance to physical hunger. Whenever we are hungry, we just eat. Simple. We are hungry, we eat. 10 times you are hungry, 10 times you eat. You never understand the relationship of food and mind. If you can understand this one relationship, the path of spirituality would become entirely different, entirely easy. So, hunger. How hunger works, and many of the times it is not true hunger. There are two types of hunger, true hunger and false hunger. True hunger means body needs, false hunger means emotional eating. You don't need, but emotionally you are disturbed, so you want to eat. It's a habit. Most of the time, more often than not, it is false hunger always. We are never hungry, in fact. If people can go without food for 40 days, or sometimes whole life, and yet stay fit, most of the time it is false hunger. Whenever hunger happens, just observe yourself. Who is hungry? Stomach? Hand, legs, chest, what? Gradually you will wait. Don't start eating when you are hungry. Observe your hunger. Observe it as a detached observer. And you will know that it disappears. It will go away, it will go away. It is temporary, anitya. It will not stay for a long time. So most of the time you will know it is false. It is not true one. So, always study yourself, your body, your mind. Because body and soul, they are very intricately connected with each other. This is soul and this is body. They are not two different compartments. Yes, in the higher stages of consciousness they are. But it is as if the soul, body is the shadow of soul, and soul is the extension of body. Body is the shadow of soul, and soul is the extension of body. They are as if one unit. You prick and the soul is pricked. You have a pain in the body and the soul feels the pain. Yes, but in the higher stages of consciousness, the more and more soul conscious you become, you start developing detachment from body. That's different. But most of the time, if the soul is in pain, body suffers psychosomatic illnesses. So know this, to understand hunger is important. What exactly is hunger? Physical hunger? Emotional hunger? Emotional, intellectual, social hunger, financial hunger, economical hunger, there's so many hungers. So Baba says, don't be greedy. So what is the moral of the story? Don't be greedy. But how? Know what is true need. Do I really need this? Most of the time we don't need things. But whenever we see something new, we just want to eat. And what we do with it, we keep it and we don't use it. But we need it. But the moment you see it is with somebody else, that's why you want it. So you should have. That generates greed. Other thing is, do I really need it? So first analysis is analysis of need. One. Second, develop the sense of generosity. In giving, we receive. The more we give, the more we receive. To be generous. Greed is contraction of heart. Generosity is expansion of heart. And every contraction is death, and every expansion is life. The more I want to hoard things, hoarding nature, I am sorrowful, I am fearful. In hoarding, there is a fear of losing. But in giving, there is no fear. So greed is a state of fear. Greed is the state of very fluctuating mind. There are upheavals in greed. But the moment you decide to give something away, you are happy. So make a mental survey of the things that you have with you in your room. Mental survey of the things you are having in your fridge. Mental survey of your kitchen. Mental survey of your cupboards. What are the things you are having there? And you will find that there are so many things which are unnecessary, which I don't need. 80% things. It's too much. Okay. But many things are there which are extra. We are just hoarding them. That depends upon prioritization. What I give priority to. The moment I realize the higher consciousness, all the things that bring me down, all the things that ground me to this earth, they become meaningless. They become useless. I don't need them anymore. I just want to give them away. And there is a joy in giving. And in giving you receive, that is another thing. God is the ocean of generosity. Udar charitanam tu is udar. In generosity, in magnanimous heart, the things flow in. In contracted heart, things die out. So to develop that magnanimity of heart, that generosity of heart is the goal. So the more magnanimous you become, more generous, more candid you become, life changes for good. So Baba says, but another thing. Be like this. What do you learn from this Midas story? You don't have to be greedy, because You are going to get something higher in future. Give up the lower and the higher is waiting for you. Unless and until you give this lower, you cannot get this. Things of this world are petty, they are trivial. What you are going to get is much, much higher than what is there in this world. Give up and you get the higher. Enjoy the things of this world by giving up the things of this world. Tena tatvena bhagnita. Scriptures, Upanishads say, how do you enjoy chocolate? Give up chocolate and then enjoy. Give up the things of the world and you enjoy the things of the world. So give up the lower and the higher comes to you. So this greed, this avarice contracts the heart. So give. In giving you receive blessings. So give. Expand. Be generous. And then the real Midas touch will happen. Whatever you touch will turn into spiritual. That is in fact the real Midas touch. Whichever place you go, that place will become electric. You will have that electrifying, that magnetizing effect on situations. Whatever you speak, that speech becomes charismatic. Spiritual Midas. So become spiritual Midas. You touch things and the things should turn spiritual. You touch books and the books should turn spiritual. You touch situations, you touch hearts, you touch beings, you touch souls, and the souls touch spiritual. Spiritual means they get filled with divine light, divine love, and divine might. Divine light, might, and love. Try power. Om Shanti.